It has been a joy. We've been looking forward to this day. Dr. David Gibbs heads up the Christian Law Association, and we're very grateful for the help they've been to churches all around the world, and especially, of course, in this nation, and as they have been used of God to help churches in some of their darkest times, and they have walked beside of them, and they've done it as a ministry. And Dr. Gibbs is a friend of our church. He's a friend of my pastor, Brother Norris, and he has helped that church, helped this church, and helped so many. And they just have a wonderful, sweet spirit. I'm thankful for Brother Michael Adams, who's with him today, and Brother Steve Cluth, and Brother Giddings as well, and thankful for them coming our way. But this ministry will never be known till heaven how much it's been used of the Lord to help churches, and I'm grateful that we have them as a good friend. So, Dr. Gibbs, would you come preach to us? It's our joy to have you back at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. It's always an honor, but thankful for today.
Thank you, Pastor. What an honor to be here, and thank you for all this incredible music. I've said this everywhere I go. I believe in America, it should be perfectly legal to shoot a bad choir. You ought to just be able to put them out of their misery and get it over with. There's nothing worse than a choir who sings half-hearted. And boy, that choir was just such a blessing. If that didn't move your heart, check to make sure you're still alive. Because, oh, let's thank the choir and all these musicians, would you? That was excellent. Just excellent. It's a great privilege to get to be here, and thank you for being faithful to your church. I am personally so thankful for some of the results that happened in the election, but please don't forget this. An election is not the hope of America. Jesus Christ is the hope of a nation. Jesus Christ. And the local church. People come to me all the time and say, what can I do for our nation? I say, go to your pastor and ask him for something to do. Get active in your local church. Yeah, but if I go to pastor and ask for something to do, he'll give me something to do. That's the whole thing. We've got just such wonderful people who love the Lord, but they're not active. And we desperately need you for the sake of our nation. So please, if you would, boy, witness the gospel, and number two, get active in your church. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1, James chapter 1. We're coming up on Thanksgiving this week, and I love the history of things. It was George Washington who pronounced the first declaration for there to be a nationwide Thanksgiving in 1789. He only did it one time because most of the states kind of rebelled at it. They didn't want the federal government telling them what to do. But he said, listen, it's imperative that we honor God. It wasn't to get together to have a great meal. It wasn't just to have fellowship and a day off of work. It was to honor God for what God had done in our nation. That's what Thanksgiving was about. But then along came Abe Lincoln in 1863. And he set the standard and made it a national law that it would be the last Thursday in November of each year that we would have this holiday called Thanksgiving. But he said, be careful what we're thanking for. Both Washington and Lincoln said, it's to pray and fast and thank God for what he's done in our lives. Boy, isn't it funny? You don't hear anything about praying and fasting now. All of a sudden, Thanksgiving is just a day off of work and a time to go eat turkey. And I love turkey. How many of you love turkey and all of this? Yeah. My wife makes mashed potatoes that are to die for. I've decided if I'm going to drown, I want to drown in a bowl of her mashed potatoes. That's where I want to go out of this world. Bless her heart. But that's not what Thanksgiving is about. We are by God commanded to be a people of thanks. I love what Psalm 100 says, enter into his courts with thanksgiving. Psalm 75, verse 1, unto the Lord, O God, do we give thanks. Again, unto thee do we give thanks. And Psalm 79, verse 13, so we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. Remember, giving thanks to God is something we're going to do for all eternity. It is something we'll never stop doing. Now, and if you don't enjoy giving God thanks and praise, you're going to be miserable in heaven because we'll be there doing that for His honor, singing praise to God forever. James chapter 1 has an incredible promise in it that I want you to look at. First of all, note who this was written to. It was written to Christians that were under severe, severe oppression, but they were standing true. James 1, verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now, the reason they were scattered is because of persecution. They literally had to run to save their lives. They were under dire trouble, but they stood true. And God wrote them this book, the book of James. Now drop down, if you would, please, to verse 26. Because here is a warning that every child of God should take very seriously. Written to these great Christians, the Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious. Uh-oh. Have you ever acted like you got it together better than you got it together? Have you ever pretended your prayer life is better than it is? Have you ever pretended that your giving is what you wish it were but isn't? Have you ever pretended that your witness for Jesus was more? But you're pretending. The greatest acts are not on Hollywood stages. They're not in Hollywood anywhere. They're not on a New York soundstage. The greatest acts are in churches where people pretend to be what they know and God knows they're not. Wow. Pretend. If any man among you seem to be religious. My precious wife is such a mild, easy-natured lady. I was going to preach at a church on a Wednesday night. I was doing a trial for them. And just before the Wednesday night service, we were in a little motorhome we had. I got a call from a judge. And the judge just wouldn't get off the phone. I said, Judge, I got a church service here I got to get into. He said, well, one more thing, Mr. Gibbs. And when a judge says one more thing, he's kind of got the ability to hold you there. And so all of a sudden, we hear him singing inside. My wife said, honey, they're singing. The service has started. I said, I know. And she said, yeah, but now look, they're not singing anymore. I think they're doing the announcements, honey. I said, I know. Well, about quarter after I got rid of the judge on the phone, and we were getting ready to get out of that little motorhome and run up there and be in the service, and you had to go down some steps that were kind of wobbly on our motorhome, and my wife was having trouble with the steps, and I said, come on, hurry up, you're making us late, hurry up. Now, she hadn't done one thing in the world to make us late. It was all me. Now you got to walk up a hill. And I said, come on, hurry up. We got to get, come on, hurry along. And she said, honey, that's okay. You run ahead. I'm coming as quick as I can. She said, please just run ahead. Go, you get up there. And here's what I said. Honey, it won't look good if I walk in there without you. Did you hear what I said to her? It won't look good. Now all of a sudden it's time to put on the act and pretend to be what we're not. It's time to seem to be religious. Met an usher greeter at the door. Oh, Brother Gibbs, how are you? Yeah, great. Everything good? Oh, yeah, praise the Lord, everything's fine. Now the pastor summoned me up to the platform, and I went and I'm sitting up there getting ready to preach. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I suppose in the next few minutes you're going to want me to help you. Says the guy who's a fake. Oh, saved, heaven bound, but not what I'm pretending to be. Can I caution you? We can fool each other, but nobody fools God. God knows exactly what your prayer life was last week. He knows exactly what you did with this book last week. He knows exactly what you did for witnessing last week. He knows everything. And this passage is written to Christians who have an act. They seem to be religious. Now here's how you undo it. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. The word vain here means not worthy. It means empty. It means something of no substance. Oh, you're a first-class act, but it isn't real. It's vain. It's empty. Wow. The devil's best friend is a Christian who's pretending to be what he isn't. And God says, you want to fix that? Here's how I want you to fix it. Bridle your tongue. Is your tongue right now bridled? Flip over to chapter 3 and look at what God says about this. Chapter 3, verse 8. Well, go to verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a fire a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Brother Gibbs, I'm trying to get my tongue controlled. God says, you'll never do it. It takes God to do it. It has to be bridled. And look at what he says about that bridling. Go back to chapter 3, verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. God says, you got stuff happening in your life that shouldn't be there. The place to start correcting it is with the tongue. Because if you can bridle the tongue by God's grace, you can bridle the whole body. Is your tongue bridled this morning? Especially as we go into this Thanksgiving. I want you to write three things down, if you would, please. And if all of this is easy for you, then remember me in your prayers. Now, I'm one of these fellas that I have trouble with my words. When I get upset, words just come to me. I don't have to think about what to say. I just open my mouth, and when I need them, they're there. They're there. How many of you got that same gift? Hold your hand up. Well, yeah. And boy, when I get upset, people say to me, where'd you get that idea? I don't know. It just came to me. I think the devil gave it to me. The bottom line is you got to get that tongue under God's control. Okay, here's the first one. God says, I want you to give thanks in everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You want that tongue bridled? Give thanks in everything. And that verse goes on and says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If your tongue isn't bridled and if you're not giving thanks in everything, then you're out of God's will. Whoa. Now, no one in their right mind wants to walk out of here today saying, I'm out of God's will and I'm going to stay there. No. You want to get in God's will. That's where his protection and his power is. But it starts with, in everything, giving thanks. I have discovered that the world's full of nutty people. How many of you know some nutty people? Hold your hand up. How many of you are sitting next to one right now? Hold your hand. Look at the hands, okay? And they all want to know me, Pastor. I was doing a trial in San Diego. And my wife was with me, and at that point we had three children, and it was our wedding anniversary. And I said, honey, I want to take you out to eat for our wedding anniversary. And I said, let's pick a really, really nice restaurant. So I asked some of the people there at the court, I said, what's the nicest restaurant in the area? They said, oh, the Chart House. Go to the Chart House, you'll love it. Well, we went to the Chart House. We're right down on the ocean, beautiful, just beautiful. And we walked in and sat down, and I made a discovery. The menu had no prices on it. And so I said to the waiter, my menu has no prices on it. And he said, so? I said, well, how do you know how much something costs? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, if you have to inquire as to the price, you won't enjoy the meal. Now, my wife, ever practical, she said, come on, honey, let's leave. Let's just go to McDonald's. Let's get out of here. I said, no, it's our wedding anniversary. I'm taking you to the Chart House. So we sat there and we ate. And then when I got the bill, I almost fainted dead away. Little did I know something was going to happen at the Chart House I would never forget. We ate this lovely meal, went outside, and outside at water's edge was a family of ducks. And they were swimming around. The mother duck would go first, and then about 10 little baby ducks would follow in her wake. And they were just adorable. They were beautiful, just sweet as could be, little ducks. And my kids are sitting there watching all of this. My wife, everybody's oohing and on. And while we're sitting there watching these little ducks just put on their little show, a Rolls-Royce convertible pulls up. I mean, this is one fancy car, and it has a chauffeur driving it. And in the back seat of this convertible are two ladies all decked out in diamonds and furs. I mean, they have rings everywhere and furs everywhere. And the car pulls up, and the chauffeur lets them out of the back seat, and they walk over. Now they're looking at the little ducks. So we're standing there with these extremely rich ladies looking at the little duck show. Suddenly something happened nobody was ready for. A pelican swooped in from behind us. We never saw him coming. He came right over our head and whew, shot down, and with that long pelican beak, grabbed one of those little babies and grabbed it right in the wing and whipped it up and shook it real hard. And the baby started screaming bloody murder. And the mama duck screaming bloody murder. And the other babies are all screaming. But that pelican's got it pinched. And that pelican lifted up and flew away and went a distance, like from here to that wall. Whoa. You talk about something that nobody was ready for. That little pelican has got that baby pinched there. And that baby's screaming mercifully. What happened next, I can't explain. One of the rich ladies said, save the baby. And she had a cane. And she took her cane and she swacked me with it on the head. Now, I don't know this nutty lady's name. She didn't hit me once. She hit me 4 or 5 times. Save that baby. Whew. Well, I can't tell you why, but I took off to go save the baby. And boys my size don't run all that good. But I'm running to go save the baby. And I get just within a couple of feet of it, and I don't know what I'm going to do with that pelican when I get there. But that baby is pinched in its mouth, and it can see me. Its little eyes are just screaming for mercy. and I'm about to jump on the pelican, and the pelican looks at me and suddenly goes, and swallowed the baby. Now the baby's in the throat screaming, and you can see it kicking and fighting all the way down as he swallows it. And then he looked at me and shook his head, and he flew off. What a way to end my anniversary dinner. I turned around and walked back by the ladies. And the lady looked at me and she said, "You failed." And she took the cane and whacked me again. I said, "Now, lady, I'm done getting whacked." She said, "You failed." She said, "You didn't save the baby." I said, "Lady, can I help you here? For $85, you can walk in this restaurant and eat that baby's grandfather." "You're nuts. You can't walk around whacking people with your cane. What is the matter with you?" Now my wife leaned over and said, "Give thanks." Not today. No. This lady's nuts. She said, "Honey, in everything, give thanks." What does it take to make you not to obey that? What has to happen? You know what I've discovered? If I'm not careful, it takes next to nothing to get me to stop giving thanks in everything. It doesn't take something major, just a couple of nutty ladies with a Rolls Royce and a cane. And it's a wicked sin. It's a sin not to give thanks in everything. Our nation only celebrates Thanksgiving one day a year. The child of God is to celebrate it every day of their Christian life. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Wow. How many of you have children? Hold your hand up, would you? Yeah. How many of you love them more than you could ever say? Hold your hand. How many of you want to kill them on occasion? Hold your, sure. Kids are God's little spies. If I could talk to your kids before you could talk to them, and before you'd tell your kids, "Now don't tell that lawyer nothing." I wonder if the kids would say, "Mom, not give thanks?" No, that'd be a sin. "Dad, not give thanks?" Dad wouldn't do that. That'd be a wicked sin. Because we're commanded by God in everything to give thanks. Big things, little things. Wow. But how did we get comfortable getting that tongue unbridled? And all of a sudden, we are comfortable not giving thanks. I was called by a Christian school in Pennsylvania. A deranged man had walked into their Christian school with a gun and started shooting children for no reason, murdering them. And when they called me, they said, "Brother Gibbs, we need your help. Help us to start giving thanks." It doesn't say give thanks for the things you like. It says in everything, give thanks. That school had a witness for Christ that spread over an entire state because people said, there's something about them. They have something. Their God is real. Whoa. Interestingly, we had the same case in the Philippines, where deranged communist soldiers ran into a Christian school, a Sunday school, and started murdering children and teachers. And the first thing they did was say, let's give thanks, with heartbreak, tears unspeakable. But their tongues were bridled. Now, the Bible says you and I can't do that in our own. No man can tame it. But by the grace of God, we can be everything God wants us to be. The first key is give thanks for everything. Write the second thing down. Number one, give thanks. Number two, no murmuring. No murmuring. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the serpents. To murmur means to gripe. It means to complain. Can I remind you, God in the Old Testament killed the children of Israel for griping, for being an unhappy camper. And the sin is not griping too much. The sin is griping at all. When's the last time you said, by God's grace, I'm not going to gripe about anything today? Nothing. Big things, little things, I'm not going to gripe. I'm in everything going to give thanks, and I'm not going to gripe. Now, once again, I've already confessed, I have trouble with that because when I get irked, ticked off, how many of you understand the word ticked off, okay? When I get ticked off, words just come to me. I got on an airplane very early in the morning. It's 5:30 in the morning. And I looked at the airplane. They'd put a new interior in it. And the seats were unbelievably small. They were tight. And when I looked at those seats, I thought, I won't need a seat belt once I'm wedged in. Turn this baby upside down. I won't be going anywhere. And as bad as it was this way. If the guy in front of you leaned back, you could brush his teeth for him. I mean, his head was in your lap. I walked back to where my row was, and there was a flight attendant standing there. Now, I never said one thing about her. I commented on the seat. I walked back. I looked at this flight attendant. I said, those are the most puny seats I've ever seen. That's all I said. She exploded at me. It's 5:30 in the morning. I said, those are the most puny seats I've ever seen. Real loud, she yelled. Well, you could lose weight, you know. Sweet Alabama. I got the Delta mouth of the South at 5 in the morning. She said, you could lose weight, you know. I said, you're right, and you could get prettier. I said, you are one of the most seriously cosmetically challenged people I've ever met. I said, I'll bet your mom didn't even keep the baby pictures, did she? Now, the people around me started clapping. Do you understand? I'm sinning, and they're applauding me. A businessman there got his pen out, and he said, say that again. I want to write that down. Whoa. You want to know how good a Christian you are? What does it take to make you gripe? That's as good as we are. Not only am I sinning, I feel good about it. She started it. I'm just finishing it. I'm putting my coat up overhead, and my gospel tracts slid out of my pocket, and I picked them up to put them back in my coat. And the Lord said, probably not a good time to give her one. I want you to hear me. This world does not want to hear about your Jesus if he can't fix your mouth, if he can't bridle your tongue. They understand an unbridled mouth, and they can't do anything about it, but we can. Whoa. It's a sin to gripe. Turn to your neighbor right now and tell your neighbor, stop the griping. Just turn to your neighbor and tell him, stop the griping. Now turn back to him and say, it's a sin. Tell him it's a sin. Oh, wow. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, if we don't gripe, what are we going to talk about this afternoon? Seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. This man's religion is worthless, vain. Wow. Number one, in everything give thanks. Number two, no griping. Write number three down and I'm done. Let your speech be always with grace. Colossians 4:6. God's people are to have a sweetness in their mouth, a gracious tongue. I love what my wife does. When we go to church, before we go in, we try to get there ahead of time so we can pray in the parking lot for a while. And she always says the same thing in her prayer at some point. She'll say, there's somebody in there that just needs a sweet word. And I don't know who, God, but please let me find him. Let me be a blessing to somebody with my mouth. And boy, does she ever find them. God's got people for you, for your mouth to touch, for you to have gracious speech. It's all commanded. It's a sin not to give thanks. It is a sin to gripe. And it's a sin not to have speech which is gracious. That's what Thanksgiving is about. In everything, give thanks. Woo. I am so thrilled for what I see happening in America with a few things in this last election. But if we just are a good act, we're going nowhere. We've got to be real. We don't want to just seem to be religious. We want to be what God's command us to be. In everything, give thanks. Everything. Number two, no griping, no murmuring. And number three, a sweet mouth, sweet lips. You say, I'm perfect at all of this. Well, then can I encourage you to pray for the rest of us? Because this has now infested America. Doesn't matter which news outlet you watch, Fox, MSNBC, doesn't matter. There's nothing sweet about it. It's somebody upset and they want you upset about what they're upset about. And griping is the order of the day. That's not to be us. We're to be the people who give thanks in everything. And we're going to have the privilege to do it for all eternity. I love what I get to do in courtrooms. I love what I get to do for God's people, the churches, the folks we get. We love the folks we represent. But the first thing I tell them when somebody calls us, we had a call with an emergency last night. They say, Brother Gibbs, what should I do? I say, number one, give thanks. Because you're out of God's will if you don't do that. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then I tell them, number two, whatever you do, don't murmur. because God takes that seriously. It's time to get the bridle on. Bow your heads in prayer. Father, what a thrill to have you as our Heavenly Father. To know that by your grace we can be everything you've commanded us to be. That by your grace we can be what in and of ourselves is impossible. But we can be the people who give thanks for everything. And we can give the people who don't complain. Because you've commanded it, and we can be the people whose speech is always with grace. Heads are bowed. How many of you say, Brother Gibbs, this morning, the Lord spoke to my heart, and I want to leave here different than I've come. God helping me, I want that to be me, what you preached on this morning. My heart's been touched. If that's true, hold your hand up right now. Hold your hand up high. Hold them high. You have your hand up. I want you to get up out of your seat and make your way to this altar. We're going to pray down here. Don't hesitate. Don't delay. All through Scripture, God summoned people to an altar. You come right now. We'll wait for you. I didn't raise my hand, but I should have. You come too. You're in the upper balcony. We'll wait for you. Oh, my. Once again, you forget everything I've said. That's of no consequence. But whatever you do, don't forget what God said. That's eternal. We'll wait for you. Father, I bow with these precious folks. It is time for us to show reality. We don't want to be an act. We don't want to seem to be. We want to be what you've commanded us to be. We want the bridle on right now. We want to be the ones who in everything give thanks, because that's your will. And God, we're absolutely done complaining. We're not going to cut back on it. We're done doing it, because it's a sin. And God, we want our speech to be with grace. Your word is so clear. Put the bridle on me. Put the bridle on everyone here who you've spoken to their heart. May we leave here touched by the power of the word of God. Thank you for doing what we could never do for ourselves. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. When you're done praying, make your way back to your seat. Would you keep your head bowed one more moment, please? I wonder if there's somebody here this morning who says you started all of this by saying these people were Christians, and I'm not sure that's me. My friend, I want to plead with you. Don't leave here this morning without the Savior. God loves you so much, He gave His only Son to die in your place and pay for your sins and mine. But you have to accept the payment He made. Now, I know this precious pastor and I know this church. They'd do it for you if they could, but no one can do it for you but you. I hope you get to go to church many more times. But one church service will be your last one, and highly probable you won't know when it's going to be. 7 times I preached the last message a healthy teenager ever heard. Little did I know they'd never get another chance. Oh, listen, don't leave here this Thanksgiving week without the Savior. I sat through hundreds of church services, not saved myself. And then I talked myself into it. I said, I'm probably saved and just don't know it. No, it says these things are written that ye may know. If you're saved, you'll know. Brother Gibbs, pray for me. I don't want to embarrass you, but I want to pray for you. I'm not sure heaven's my home. hold your hand up and let me pray for you right now. I want to know Jesus is my Savior. Is there one anywhere? Most important decision you will ever make, it's all for eternity. Father, I don't see a hand, but by your grace, if there's one here who doesn't know, I beg you, don't let them leave here without coming to pastor, to one of these men, and settling that issue before they leave these grounds today. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. One more time, turn to your neighbor and say, come on, I mean it, no griping. Come on, I mean it, no griping. Praise the Lord. Our ministry every month sends out a newsletter. Would you please let me send the newsletter to you? It's free. There's no charge. But what we ask is for this commitment. We are legal missionaries. We defend Christians every day who are challenged in America for the faith, and we have the privilege of defending them. And here's what we ask. Would you please pray 2 or 3 minutes a month? Not 2 or 3 minutes a day or a week, but a month. There's a prayer checklist on the back of the newsletter about the lawsuits we want you to pray for. And I'm begging you for those prayers. Now, trust me, when you're sued, you're going to want everybody to pray. When it's your name on the papers, when it's you sitting in the courtroom, you're going to say, oh, get everybody to pray. And we will. But now I'm begging you to pray for others. Please, we need your prayers. How many of you already get our newsletter? Hold your hand up. God bless you. Please pray down that prayer checklist. I told him this morning, I was in the Texas Supreme Court, and the lawyer for the other side came up to me and he said, David, you haven't got a prayer in there today. Not a prayer. And I said, Toby, I know what you mean by that, but you couldn't be more wrong. I said, right now there are thousands of people praying for this lawsuit. And I said, you're not going to see what David Gibbs can do in that courtroom. You're going to see what God can do. And we won that case unanimously. By the way, he called me after that and said, could you get your people to pray for my lawsuits? And I said, no. I said, the prayer God wants to hear from you is, please save me. That's the one you need to pray. And I sent him a book on how to be saved. Oh, please, we desperately need your prayers, desperately. Ushers, come on forward with those envelopes. How many of you say, Brother Gibbs, I don't get your newsletter, but send it to me. I will give you a couple of minutes a month and pray for these lawsuits. Hold your hand up, would you? Just hold it up high enough. We want to get this in your hand. And the minute you get it, fill it out. The minute you get it, fill it out. Please don't let them get by you. We need your help. We need somebody to go, Dennis, up to the balcony up there. Oh, we need you, please. Now, this is what we have done for 54 years. This is how we've made the ministry happen. So please get that. And print. I always beg people to print. Some of the envelopes, when we look at them, they're like borderline hieroglyphic. You can't figure out what it is. Please print. That's me. I have trouble with that. Make sure somebody... How many of y'all ever wrote a note and you couldn't read the note you wrote to yourself, right? Please print. That's what we need. Oh, do we ever need that? And we'll pick these up in just a minute, but get them and fill them out. There, Dennis is up in the balcony now. Preacher, your church has been so gracious to us. This church has been kind in the super extreme. And we could never even begin to repay you for all of your kindness to us. Thank you for all you've done. In the back are some books. We sell the books. Every penny goes, not one bit to an author. It all goes to pay for the lawsuits. And I pray that you'll get these, if they'll be a blessing to you. But let me say this too. Our policy has always been, if you're here and you don't have money, I'll give you books for free. We've done that for 50 years. And we've given tens of thousands of books away because I don't want money to stand between us. And if we can help somebody, we want to help them. So if you don't have money, please look back there. But please don't fib to me about whether you have money or not. How many of you all agree it's not nice to fib to Brother Gibbs? How many of you all agree with that? These are the ones my wife wrote. These are the ladies' devotionals. They are by far the most popular thing we have. If you're looking for fluff, wrong lady. She writes from the heart. And she writes with a heart that moves people. So those are in the back there. Then this is about lawsuits from my briefcase. These are lawsuits that I've had, and it talks about what God has done in the courtroom. We have litigated in all 50 states multiple times, 26 foreign countries, and this from my briefcase is about the cases. One nation under God, 10 things every Christian should know about the founding of America. It is utter nonsense to say God had nothing to do with the founding of America. I tell everybody, go to Washington, D.C., and go look at what's carved in stone on all the monuments. They believed it, and they carved it in stone. 10 things every Christian should know. Then understanding the U.S. Constitution. 10 things every Christian should know about the U.S. Constitution. I consider this, and there's some other good ones out there. I like ours the best, but there's some other good ones out there. Please, I beg you. I hear this every day. Well, the Constitution says, and the Constitution doesn't say any such thing. Not even close. But you don't know that because you don't know what's in it. Well, yeah, but for me to read the Constitution would take forever. No. If you're an average to slow reader, you can read the U.S. Constitution front to back in less than 15 minutes. It's not a long document. And you need to know what's in there. Do you understand when we send soldiers, men and women, to war and say, be ready to die if you have to, it's for the Constitution they swear allegiance. And we say, yes. For this document, you should be willing to surrender your life. Whoa. Be sure you know what's in there. 10 things every Christian should know. Across the miles are more of the stories from courtrooms, and these are the most recent ones. And then the Georgie series. This is for little kids to memorize scripture. And my wife got it in her mind that when our kids were little, before they went to kindergarten, she wanted each of our three children to know 90 verses by heart. And I asked her, why in the world did you pick 90 verses? She said, I don't know, I just did. But she created a little fictitious frog called Georgie. She just made him up to help the kids remember the verses. And Dr. Treber one day heard her giving that to a Sunday school class, and he said, would you put that in print so I could use it with my grandchildren? That's where this came from, the Georgie series. It's for kids to memorize scripture. I want to tell you, kids can memorize scripture so fast, but you need to give them something to do it with. That's all in the back. And again, if you don't have money, please let us just give you the book and be a blessing to you. One more time, turn to your neighbor and say, come on, stop the griping. Tell your neighbor, stop the griping. No more griping. Now turn to your neighbor and say, in everything give thanks, even if I hit you with a cane, even if I hit you with a cane. Have you got those envelopes done? Hold your envelopes up in the air. Let the guys pick the envelopes up from you real quick. If you don't have them done, we'll pick them up back at the book table. Pastor, thank you for your special heart. When God brought this dear man of God and his wife here, God brought you a special, special shepherd. And thank you for all the music and everything. Thank you for that solo that you sang. And is this your bride right here? Thank you for that, what you sang in the beginning, Behold Our God, Mercy. Was all I could do, broken leg and all, was all I could do to stay down. That was such a blessing. One more time, turn to your neighbor. You say, why are you doing this? Because it's important. Give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Tell your neighbor, give thanks. Pastor.
Well, amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Gibbs. We'll let you have a seat right there. After the service, I'll have the staff. They'll be back at the table. And if you have some questions or you want to get some of those books, I challenge you to do it. Whatever you can get in will be a blessing to you, I know. And Dr. Gibbs will be up here if you want to stick around and speak to him. That would be just fine as well. But I want to thank each of you for being here this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Michael, if you don't mind, to come dismiss us in prayer. Brother Michael Adams, we got to meet one of the trips that he was through, and he's been a great blessing. We try to keep up with each other and thank God for his testimony and for his service for the Lord. But as he prays, then some of the CLA staff will be back at the table. If you want to pick up some of those resources, please do that. Amy and I will be back there as well. If there's anything we can do for you, then we will certainly count it an honor to. And if you're a guest with us, don't forget to drop that Connect card off. We'd certainly appreciate that. And hopefully Amy and I will get to meet you as well. Brother Michael, would you pray for us?
We would take what we've heard and go out these doors to our communities with it. Help us to be thankful. Help us not to gripe, but to look to you in all things. And we thank you for it. Help us to be a great lighthouse in this community for you. In Jesus' name, amen.